be okay. Just one loss for the Rough Riders. They're right back on track after the weekend in a game against the BC Lions on Saturday. Right? I told you all that last week. Remember? Locker.
Jamie, that's you trying to change the narrative, I think.
What do you mean?
You actually didn't say that.
No, I'm pretty sure I did.
You took the Lions and the Bombers.
Did I? I don't know. I seem to remember that I was just saying, yep.
Written down.
Cruising. Nothing to worry about. Nothing
took
to
Montreal,
see here.
Winnipeg, BC, and the
Riders
Ticats.
Will be, hey, stop it with your facts. Let's get things started with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines, and yes, the Riders win on Saturday.
Harris, deep shot, down the field, drops it in, 5, end zone, touchdown Riders! An early strike to Dante Myers!
And it just got better and better and better as the game went on. That started things 7-0, then they turned over the ball, it was 10-0, then they made it 17-1. And they win 33-27. That score is way too close. As the game wore on and the Riders had a big lead, the BC Lions chipped away. Their last touchdown came with like a couple of seconds left and tried an onside kick. So
we're going to get into our grades, but I think this team needs to, I don't know, they got to, something at the end of games, like, put these guys away. Like, let's bury this team.
Like the Calgary Stampeders have been doing. The Riders are 5-1. The Lions dropped to 3-4. Meanwhile, it was not good. Kadeem Carey, running back, left the game with an ugly injury. So expect the Riders to possibly be reaching out to some running backs to back up A.J. Olet. But the Riders back in the win column on Saturday.
CFL will stay there. The Ticats dominating the Red Blacks.
5 yards in the passing total. Well, this would certainly get them to the top 10. Touchdown, you know who. And for Bo Levi Mitchell, that puts him into the top 10 all time in CFL passing yardage.
That was a pass to Kenny Lawler, and he looked good. The team looked good. The final 30-15 for the Hamilton Ticats. Drew Brown hit. We're going to talk a little bit more about that at some point on the program as well. That looked bad.
Should it be an ejection? Bob Dice thinks so. We're going to have a debate on that. But congratulations to Bo Levi Mitchell. Top 10 all-time passing yards. He's shown he still has it. He's still got it. And he and Kenny Lawler. Like, is Kenny going to beat Milt's record of most touchdowns in a single season? Like,
Milt,
he is.
Milt thinks so.
Cruising right now if he stays healthy.
Yeah, Milt mentioned it the other day on the broadcast. He said, I wouldn't be surprised if he catches me.
Meanwhile, on Sunday, it was just a walk around Royal Port Rush for Scotty Scheffler.
It is the greatest walk in golf, and if you have a four-shot lead, you can enjoy every single step of the way. Hats off to Scotty Scheffler.
He dominated the whole weekend as he won the Open Championships by 4 shots. Harris English finished a runner-up. Rory made some noise on Saturday climbing up the leaderboard, but wasn't able to polish things off on Sunday. But Scotty Scheffler wins, as I knew he would, when he said earlier in the week, doesn't really matter if you win a golf tournament or not. Why do I wake up in the morning to play golf? I don't even know why I care. And I said, and you remember it, Locker, I said, he's going to win.
Right away.
And not only did he win, he cruised to his fourth major championship. And, of course, you probably heard the number, but if you haven't, there's a lot of comparisons to Tiger Woods. This one's a little creepy.
Stop that one. Stop that conversation right now. This guy is no Tiger.
But
he is no Tiger. I don't care if he wins 14 times more than Tiger. He is not a Tiger. I don't care if he wins. Actually, I want him to lose now. And I cheer again, like actively cheer against him. Him and Adam Scott for using the long putter. I can't. This man, every time I hear him speak, it's like I want to shut the TV off.
If you want to trigger Locker, just sit in the Green Zone Lounge and play Scotty Scheffler audio all day long. I have not been doing that over the last half hour. That's what got him fired up.
Oh.
But 1,197 days, Tiger Woods went from his first major to his fourth major. Do you know how long Scotty Scheffler took from his first to his fourth? 1,197 days to the day. That's wild. However, Tiger Woods was 22. Scotty Scheffler's 29. And so there is 7 years difference between that.
And no one's excited about Scotty Scheffler winning.
He's not even excited about winning. How are we supposed to get amped up when he's like, yeah, can I go home now? I want to go eat at the local Chipotle.
His toddler's more exciting. All right, MLB, another sweep for the Jays.
And this is driven high and deep to center field, and it is gone! You got to know how good that feels for Guerrero.
All right, so the Giants 0, Jays 4 on Friday. They beat them 6-3 on Saturday and then 8-6 on a Sunday. That is their seventh sweep. Hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hold on.
Yeah, 8th.
That's the 8th sweep of the year for the Jays. And the second half, starting on a strong suit. They got the Yankees tonight. It's another home series against the Yankees, only 3 this time. But they did sweep the Yankees just before the All-Star break in a 4-game series at home.
Now up to a 3-game lead on the Yankees in the AL East. And, of course, NFL training camps tomorrow. It'll be official. Every team will be going in NFL training camps. And, well, if you had any question on who the starting quarterback was going to be for the Tennessee Titans, that was cleared up today.
With the first pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Cameron Ward, quarterback, Miami.
Of course, they drafted Will Levis a few years ago, and it was, are they going to compete for the number one job? Who's going to win the job? Will Levis, recovering from shoulder injury last year, did not recover from the shoulder injury. He has gone under the knife. Season-ending shoulder surgery for Will Levis. So here you go. Cam Ward, first overall pick. Tennessee Titans, get ready for it as the rest of the NFL camps opening today and tomorrow. Who knows? I don't like starting a guy that early. I really don't. I look at the Green Bay model, right? What did Green Bay do? Aaron Rodgers sat there for 2.5, 3 years behind Brett Favre as a top pick. And then when he stepped in, he was ready. Jordan Love, 2, 3 years behind Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay after a first-round pick, waiting, learning. When he stepped in, he was ready. Throwing these guys in right out of college, going up against pro coaches, whew, that's a different animal altogether. So it's like Caleb Williams last year. Did he light it up? No. Jaden Daniels did, but he's got a little bit more, you know, giddy up.
Dynamic
player. Those guys can do it. So we'll see what Cam Ward can do for the Tennessee Titans. As Will Levis undergoes season-ending shoulder surgery. My favorite phrase to say, season-ending shoulder surgery as a broadcaster. That's a tough one.
Season-ending shoulder surgery.
There you go. You have to say it slow, or it's shoulder surgery real quick. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, we're going to give you our grades a little bit later on from that Riders win over the BC Lions. We're asking you for your grades. 1-877-332-8255. Who gets your top grade? Who gets your failing grade from the Riders' victory over the Lions? Also, Tiger v. Scotty. Do you want to cheer for the good guy who's like meh about winning, or the guy whose wife chased him down the driveway with a 9-iron?
It was a 9-iron. Yeah.
Do we officially find that out? Was it a 9-iron?
Hold on. I'm going to look this up.
But was way more entertaining to watch on a Sunday. 1-877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I know you'll be just another regret. Damian Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Monday after the weekend. Hope everybody had an enjoyable weekend. A little rainy, windy, some tornado warnings again across Saskatchewan. Possibility of some touching down.
Had our Green Zone fact checkers look into it. It was a nine iron. I was right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that his Swedish bride, now ex.
Elin Nordegren, yeah.
Elin, chased him down the driveway with. I think she got him once. She got the car. She was getting the Land Rover a couple of times. I think she got the windshield. I think she broke the mirror off the side of it, and then he went, and then he hit
crashed the car.
He trashed the car, and he hit the gate on the outside, just outside of the yard. And then I think she got one good clean one in through a broken side window.
He deserved it.
Because he was a little dopey too from some painkillers apparently as well.
Yeah, he deserved it.
I am 100% okay with it, like that she did that. I'm not upset at her at all.
I would actually the Coldplay couple. If that guy drove home that night, I wouldn't be surprised if he had his clubs being wheeled at his BMW as well.
Have you seen like everybody's trying to reenact that thing?
The riders are going to do it on Friday, aren't they? There's going to be a kiss cam, and they're going to have a setup. And
Did you
see the two ladies at the Red Blacks game with TSN? They did it too, because they have that what is it called, lounge on field level.
Yeah.
So the cameras panned, and there's two ladies who are reenacting that moment, and then they dived behind, and everybody around them was laughing. They're enjoying it. Although there's now a new trend going on at sporting events where it's now the Coldplay cam and you're being asked to reenact instead of kissing each other, because that can be awkward. Some people don't like, little public display of affection.
Tonsil hockey.
PDA,
yeah.
That they're being like, hey, dive out of the way of the camera. Pretend that you might be having an affair with the person at the game. Those types of things.
The one I like the most, and I've seen the highlight multiple times, is where the guy is clearly ignoring his beautiful bride or fiance or whatever.
He is
like loving his beer. Have you seen that one? And he's being overly affectionate with his pint of beer. That one cracks me up every time.
When she's like, this game's boring, she's texting her friends, and he's like, hello, beer. You glorious, glorious beer. At least you pay attention to me. And yeah, that's good times. So I'm getting ready for it on Friday at the Rider game. I'm getting ready for it. Someone's going to do it. That's my. I'll guarantee that. I'll guarantee that more than I will the Riders beat the Edmonton Elks. That plays out at Mosaic Stadium on Friday.
Are we putting this on the board?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Coldplay.
A Coldplay reenactment at the Rider game.
Coldplay couple reenactment.
Mm-hmm. Also, by the way, remember, Stevens 316, Stone Cold Tommy Stevens.
No, Tsunami.
No, we need Stevens 316 signs at the Rider game after they're playing Stone Cold's music whenever he gets a first down now in short yardage. A pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio, my life sees sunrise. See the love in my woman's eyes, feel the touch of a precious child. Damian Locker with you here on a Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's enjoying your day, as we will bring in Dave Campbell of 880 Ched in Edmonton a little later on, as Mark Killam wasn't really giving Trey Ford the absolute confidence that he was the starter this week against the Rough Riders. Of course, their next option would be Cody Fajardo, who has never started against his former team, the Rough Riders, even though he left like 3 years ago. A lot of Rider fans have been waiting for that. We'll see if it's this week. Dave Campbell will answer.
Now, that's sign-worthy.
Sign-worthy. Sorry. With the Stevens 316. No, I still think someone should have a Stevens 316 sign that they're playing the Stone Cold music when Tommy Stevens gets a first down. Also over the weekend, of course, outside of the Riders' victory over BC, it was the Open Championship. And on Sunday, you watched Scottie Scheffler cruise to a four-shot victory and his second major of the year and his fourth of his career. Adam Stanley of Sportsnet Golf joining us here on the Green Zone. Adam, thanks for your time as always.
Yeah, no worries. Happy to chat. I got up at a more reasonable hour this morning after the last couple of days being up watching the Open. So I feel spry now, even though it's later on in the afternoon. I feel good.
Adam, but does it really matter?
Does it all matter at all, Adam?
Oh. what's really the point, guys? What's the point?
Why did you get up?
Why are we all doing this?
Yeah.
Anyways.
You should have just stayed in bed, Adam.
To myself that I'm living another day, I guess. That's all that really counts. Yeah.
The philosopher. Is that going to be his nickname now on tour? The philosopher? Scottie Scheffler? Because before we get into his comments and from earlier in the week and then after the round, overall, how impressive was Scottie Scheffler in these 4 days at Royal Portrush?
There's really two things that kind of stand out about how impressive he was. And we'll talk about the mental stuff and his approach to kind of golf and life in a minute, it sounds like, which is great. From an actual like golf perspective, the things that stood out for me was twofold. Number one, Scotty just basically didn't make any mistakes throughout the week. And at a Lynx golf course, at an Open Championship, you know, you're primed for mistakes because the draw may not be on your side. The weather may not be on your side. You might hit a great shot that ends up just like, you know, catching a little bit of a knoll that's been there for 300 years, and then your great shot ends up being a not-so-great shot. Scottie Scheffler managed to avoid pretty much all of that up until Sunday when it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to win, made a double bogey on the eighth hole, and then, surprise, surprise, he made a birdie on the very next hole, bounced back, life went on, and then that was it. So total elimination of mistakes. And the other thing that we probably have talked about in years past was that Scotty was not a very good putter. You know, for the 2 years in there, 2022, 23, beginning of 2024, there was a huge question about whether this world-class ball striker was ever going to pair that skill set with just, you know, average putting. And now he's an incredible putter. He gained almost 9 shots to the field with the putter alone at the Open last week. He was second in the stat for the week. So it's kind of like, here's a guy who's the best ball hitter on the planet. He's also become an elite putter. And, oh, by the way, he's, you know, the best between the ears as well. So how do you beat this guy? And last week he proved that it was going to be really, really hard to do just that.
Now, Adam, there's been sort of this underlying theme for a long time now that Americans don't play Lynx very well. And that narrative seems to be going by the wayside. What is it about the Lynx courses that people think that the American style of PGA tour member, it's not compatible with their game?
Yeah, I think it's just the variables that exist, right? You know, growing up, these guys, Americans specifically, North Americans, period, didn't play with two things. Number one, the turf at a Lynx golf course is so much harder, firmer, faster than they're used to at kind of the North American country club scene. And number two, it provides Lynx style golf, and excuse me, I shouldn't say Lynx style, I should say, you know, this is proper Lynx golf, you know, provides everybody with so many more options. You know, you can run it up, you can kind of like throw it at a green and watch it run back. North American country club golf, Parkland style golf is very kind of copy and paste, bomb and gouge. You know, pick your description. And again, you know, I mentioned about the answer about Scottie Scheffler himself a couple of minutes ago. The variables that exist, the weather that exists, you know, all those other things. It's just not stuff that, you know, Americans, North Americans are used to seeing. But surprise, surprise, kind of building off the question specifically, 3 straight Americans have won the Open, and 4 of the last 5, Cam Smith from Australia was kind of the lone exception in there. And then I'm pretty sure Americans finished 1, 2, and 3 just this past week. So, you know, is that narrative kind of going by the wayside, or is it, you know, just something that they're going on a nice run and they're kind of figuring it out? And Europeans as well, if they, you know, maybe they're growing up playing links golf, but, you know, if they want to play elite golf, they'll probably come, you know, across the pond, go to college in the United States, and then, of course, kind of start their PGA Tour journey.
Adam Stanley joining us from Sportsnet, of course, a golf writer and contributor as we look at the Open Championships and Scottie's dominance in golf as Scottie Scheffler wins his first Claret Jug. But, he played Philosopher before the tournament started on Wednesday than he did after the tournament. A lot of comparisons are being made to Tiger Woods. And Locker and I are going to have this conversation with the sports fans after. Does Scottie just lack it, though, when it comes to being a superstar? Nothing really lights me up about Scottie. And apparently he was sitting next to the Claret Jug and he's like, yeah, I won, but it's not how I define. And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just like, wait a second. You just won the Claret Jug. And he's just like, yeah, we're going to go to Memphis and it's all start square again. Does the PGA need Scottie to be a little more Tiger? And is that ever going to happen?
There's so many different ways to kind of, you know, take this. Because I think the first point is that, like, Scottie doesn't want to be this, like, inspirational, generational superstar. Like, Jordan Spieth, he was talking about Scottie yesterday and just said, you know, if you notice, Scottie doesn't do all the corporate stuff that we do. And it's true. Like, Scottie does his one kind of tailor-made shoot a year, but you don't really see him in commercials or doing kind of like off-site corporate deals or gigs or kind of anything like that. Any time that he has away from playing tournaments, he spends it with his family. So that kind of leads me into my second point about, like, everything you mentioned about Scottie as like a person is completely 100% accurate, but like, how can you really knock him, right? Like, he goes to work, he does really, really good at his job. And then when he's done work, he goes home and he tries to be a present father and a present husband and, you know, be like a good family man. It's like, all right, like, That's pretty good. That sounds like a nice life to me. But does he like, maybe as an individual, have the juice? No. But like, are these accomplishments that we are bearing witness to now and the potential for all time greatness, like, is that enough to kind of bring the juice? Like, yeah, I think so. You know, you're looking at somebody who is, you know, one major away from completing the career Grand Slam before he's 30 years old. And Jack Nicklaus, who obviously won 18 majors, he won 10 of his majors after turning 30. So you look at someone like Scottie and just how few mistakes he makes. Could we be on the march to an all-time number? Yeah, we definitely could be. And also, if you're looking at Rory McIlroy, who just completed the career Grand Slam, is for sure 100% one of the top 15 golfers to ever do it. You know, Scottie really just needs to win two of the next, you know, 40-ish majors to get ahead of Rory in major championship numbers at a younger age. And if he wins one of the next U.S. Opens over the next 10 years, you know, that's going to be it as well. And all of a sudden we're talking about maybe somebody who's a top 10 golfer in the history of the sport. So, yes, as an individual, as a person, no one's ever going to be Tiger. He doesn't really have kind of that outwardly, I'm excited about growing the game, I want to absolutely dominate it, etc. But, you know, you look at everything he's done and the potential for what he could do, and it's like, yeah, okay, we could be kind of a part of something really, really special.
Adam, great golfer, Scottie, tick. Great father, tick. Gratitude. That's my issue. If you're going to be in the position that he is in, and this is just my opinion, and I could be on an island here by myself on this one, I think you have to, especially when you're the face of the game, you have to find a way to show some gratitude. And if they're smart, if people in his life are smart, and maybe they're just letting him be Scottie because he is as good as he is, they'd be sitting him down and going, you know what? You just want a trophy that's 153 years old. You have to at least show some gratitude or attempt to, because his wife looked more thrilled than he did at the end of this. And I think that's bad for the game. I think it hurts the game to have this guy representing this game.
have the headline kind of be, you know, what's Scotty Scheffler? What's the point, sort of thing, right?
It's kind of what you're insinuating, right?
But I see the point, because imagine, you know, the Riders go on, they win the Grey Cup, the, you know, quarterback, the coach of the Riders, you know, steps up to the podium. Yeah, we got the Grey Cup, everything's excited, blah, 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 we won. But he's like, what does it really mean? I'm not fulfilled. This is not a fulfilling.
Can you imagine that? Oh. That's a really good point, Adam. Thank you for bringing that around to that.
So, anyway,
Rider Nation wouldn't be thrilled about that at all. I don't think
they'd pull him off the stage.
My apologies for not knowing who the quarterback of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders is.
That's okay. You're a golf writer. That's fine.
Imagine that person winning the Grey Cup and then saying, like, hey, guys, yeah, this is great. We got 100 days till the season starts over again. You know, nice to have our name sketched or etched on here, but. I don't feel like this is the end all and be all of my life. Someone's going to be like, whoa, 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 what are you saying? So
you would never see Trevor. Trevor Harris is his name, and he would never in a million years. You would see a man probably crying on that stage, right?
I will never forget Trevor Harris's name. So there we go.
We're not going to hold it against you, Adam. We're not going to hold it against you.
Please, the next time we chat, maybe in a couple weeks for the FedEx Cup playoffs, you can quiz me on it, see if I remember. Or I'll try to bring it all the way back to Rider Nation. But I think multiple things can be true on this front. Like, you know, Scotty is just so good, and he just has done something that we haven't seen in a long time, the way that he's doing it. We have the potential for all-time greatness, but you are correct in saying, man, it would be nice if he, you know, kind of squeezed the juice a little bit more. Because we know the results are speaking for themselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe Scotty, the person, can, you know, amp it up a little bit more here.
It's the weird battle. We were talking about it earlier with, like, Justin Blackwell, another host on another show on our radio station. It's like, but it's like, you had Tiger, but Tiger's wife was chasing him with 9 irons. Like... Like, you don't have that guy off the course that you, but Scotty's like everything you want off the course, but it's like, it's this weird balance with the two comparisons now of Tiger and Scotty, and everything is, everything's a 180 on the course and off the course, except for the amount of trophies they're winning.
And the funny thing about it too, Adam, the interesting sort of conversation revolving around this is it would be quite fine if you heard somebody go, I don't like Tiger because of this. Everybody would, I totally get that. But when you're saying, I don't like Scotty, everyone's like, but he's a good father. And you're like, mom.
But I like what you said. You want him to squeeze the juice just a little bit more. By the way, before you go, I do want to shout out two Canadian golfers, Corey Connors. Yeah. What a run on the weekend to go from here he was to another top 10 finish. But Aphrodite Deng, real quick, tell us more about this young Canadian phenom where that's probably going to start to make a name for herself, even though she did over the weekend already.
Guys, she is so good. She's so good. Aphrodite Deng, born in Calgary, raised in Montreal, based out of the U.S. now, works out at the TPC Sawgrass. So she's 15 years old, won the U.S. Girls Junior Championship. So it's a USGA event, won that over the weekend, and gets an exemption into the U.S. Women's Open next year, gets an exemption into the Augusta National Women's Amateur next year as well. And this is her third, like, huge, gigantic junior title that she's won just this year. She won the Junior Invitational, which takes place the week before the Masters down in Georgia. And she also won the Mizuho event, which is hosted by Michelle Wee down in New York, another American Junior Golf Association event. So that's just this year. And last year, she won the Nelly Invitational, which is hosted by Nelly Korda. So she's 15. She's so good. I can't wait to see what happens with her and her career over the next little while.
Right on, Adam. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. And we'll have to chat again closer to the playoffs and, of course, the Ryder Cup coming up.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Adam. Adam Stanley here on the Green Zone. As coming up next, the number 700 is very monumental on this day in sports history. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Back in town. Well, hello there. You made it. I gotta get back in.
on this day in sports history. It was July 21st, the year 1973. Before this day in sports history, only one man in the history of baseball had hit 700 home runs. But on this day, Henry Aaron made it two. Yes, Hank Aaron hits his 700th career home run to move 14 back of Babe Ruth's record. A few weeks later, of course, he'd become the home run king and finish his career with 755 total home runs. Henry Aaron hits 700 on this day in sports history.